What?
And we had a whole bunch more people call in, Heist.
Yes, I didn't know for sure if Vin was going to take the mic. But welcome those who just participated with a call. Thank you for being here. We're live on BBS Radio. I welcome BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. And those on the call, if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heist. Joel from Chicago.
Good evening, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hello to everybody.
How's the weather in Chicago?
Sunny.
Oh, nice.
Not anymore. It was a little late.
Pray for us to get rain. We just were told that we're going to have a severe and early fire season because we are so dried out. So we need rain really bad.
Where are we? In California?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta let it rain.
I'm right next door to you where you are now in Pasadena. I'm over in Riverside.
Riverside?
Uh-huh.
I'm in the hills outside
of Riverside. Very, very rural.
I drove through Riverside on the way here.
Oh, too bad. I wish you'd have. Of course, I'm kind of a jog out of Riverside, but it's so beautiful out here. It's so quiet and peaceful and no traffic, no sirens, no airplanes, and on my property, but everything that every single month of the year there is something producing that is nourishing and life sustaining off the trees.
And there's no chemtrails, right?
Very, very few. Very few. I do see them occasionally, and when I do, I always suffer within 72 hours. I'm always just wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't come all the time here. No, they don't come every day. There are many days where there are no chemtrails. There's a beautiful, clear sky.
They come here like 5-6 in the morning before everybody gets up.
Oh.
Yeah, we always notice it when they chemtrail, the next day it rains.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we should get them here now. Send them over. Send in the chemtrails.
I would pass. I'd do that for rain.
they're like going crazy here in
Oh, they're awful.
Hold it long.
It was
same
nice,
time.
Sunny, and then they just spray it as a big, heavy haze during the day. They just creeps down on top of it.
Shine.
Do you remember that song, Send in the Clowns?
What? Seeding the clouds? Well, so does it rain there, Heist, when you have them all day long?
No, he said send in the clouds.
Oh, send in the clouds.
that's how rumors get started, right?
That's right.
There you go.
Well, then let us be the clowns. Let them point and laugh their fingers. Just remember, we're pointing at them.
Oh, where is Terry?
All the rest of them are pointing back at you.
That's exactly right.
Welcome those who just participated. Thank you for being here with the BBS call. And if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
This is Larry in northeastern Wisconsin.
Hey, Larry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Welcome, Larry.
Larry, are you a regular?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Are you in?
Hello.
No.
Hi, somebody. You tried to say hi twice, and everybody, every time you've been interrupted.
Hi, this is Shine.
Hi, Sunshine. Welcome.
Thank you.
Where are you, Sunshine?
I'm in New Jersey.
Sunshine, I have a... Sunshine?
Yes?
I have a question for you.
Yes?
You are one of the most sensitive people. Did you know that? Do you think of yourself as being sensitive?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's through in your voice.
I'm so glad you're on our call, because as you can tell, we got a bunch of macho hoppers here.
And he makes me do penance instead of getting a pendant.
I'm the one who sent you that email about working on a creation for joy.
What a nice...
I sent you an email?
She sent you an email about working on a creation of joy.
Oh, that was you. All right. Okay.
You need us, Macho.
Welcome to those who joined in. This is the BBS call. Please say name and location.
This is Carola from Okotoka.
Hey, Carola. Welcome to the call.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. Tired.
Right. Are there more who want to announce themselves? Please feel free to do so.
Maisie Miles from
Wisconsin. Good evening, Maisie. Welcome to the call. Where are you located?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. All right. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening. This is Roger in Austin, Texas.
Hi, Roger. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
All right. Two people joining at the same time. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is David Mesa.
Hey, Dave. Welcome to the call. And who else was there?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Also welcome.
Thank you.
I believe that Terry is with us. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hello. I'm good.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. And then welcome to the next caller. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Oh, it's Rosalie Tackett in Dallas.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you?
Well represented.
That was Rosalie Tackett?
Right. Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Rosalie. Hi.
Hi, Wynn. It's Maisie.
Who?
Maisie from Wisconsin. I used to be on the calls with you years ago. With
right.
Terry.
Yes. Is this your first call in a while?
Yes.
Yes, I lost track of you, and just by pure chance, I found you again. Yes, sir.
You know what? We have something in common.
Oh, good. We do.
I lose track of me all the time.
That's a good one.
So should we all say hi to Terry?
Right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
You're in especially good voice tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good.
Did you have a nice Easter, Terry?
Who wants to say I love you, Terry?
I love you, Terry.
I love you, Terry.
I love you, Terry.
I love you,
Terry. I love you guys, too.
Now, Terry's feeling especially good because I'm in L.A. and she's in Arizona.
But she's the one that keeps track of you.
You have to keep track of me, right.
You find each other.
Do you have a GPS attached to your ankle?
You know what? The problem with Terry is she's got an inner GPS.
I've got what?
An inner GPS.
Well,
inner GPS. That's good.
Inner GPS. Yeah, I worked her really hard to get it, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to before I say let's start, let me start the recording, or Hi, you can start the recording.
All right. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Thank you.
Teresa from Wisconsin.
Hi, Teresa from Wisconsin. What city in Wisconsin, Teresa?
Hi. When? Near Rice Lake?
Oh, I'm from Tomahawk.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Who's that?
Maisie.
Who?
Maisie.
Oh, nice to meet you.
You too.
Terry, do you remember Maisie, Terry?
No, I don't.
Oh, I've
Terry.
Too many times.
Not Terry. That's not Terry. That's somebody that's impersonating Terry.
Hey, what was the question? Do I remember Maisie?
Yes.
Yeah.
From a long time ago. She hasn't called in for a long time.
We're best.
She was on our calls when we were amateurs.
Yes. Oh, hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yesterday we couldn't even
spell
professional, and today we are one.
No,
actually,
I don't.
Is that Joel, Terry?
No.
Who is that?
Maybe take you home.
Now, who is that?
Joel's here, but I don't know who that was impersonating me.
All right.
Sunshine talking.
Well, you know what? This is April 1st, and I just want you to know that we've been picked up by CNN, and they decided to put our conference call on the air all over the world. How's that? That's my April Fool's joke.
That's a good one.
I was going to say it's going to need an edit.
I forgot about April Fool's.
Very good, Wayne. You really got me.
You got me too.
Oh, gosh.
I always feel like an idiot. I'm out of here.
All right. I get to do that. I get to do that once a year.
Push everybody down the hill.
We're not gonna mute everybody yet. Okay.
Okay. Good. I'm just gonna make sure.
Especially since we got them all laughing. And,
Buddy's having a heart attack.
A couple of people are going really dumb because they believed it.
Well, did you hear the dead silence? There wasn't a bunch of cheers.
Well, a joke or not, are you ready, Wynn?
Am I ready?
Yeah, would you be ready for CNN?
I'm ready.
All right. If you can pull off CNN like you pulled off Sunday, wow.
Oh, right. No kidding. I would just have to do something with my big, loud, macho voice.
Right. Well, as long as they don't mind me broadcasting from the back of Starbucks, everything is fine. You know? But they have to pay me so I can rent places. But, yeah, I'm back here in Starbucks in Pasadena. Retail parking only. Unauthorized vehicles will be cited or towed. So I have my Starbucks coffee in the windshield.
Authorization.
It's my authorization if anyone looks. I'm in Starbucks. And I'm so delighted that we're all here. And I had the topic tonight, co-creation, because I realized, I've been talking about it a lot lately to different people, and they're talking about it, and it's like, it's not like it's one thing. It's not like we can say, here's how you do co-creation, except, is that the peanut butter muncher there? We've just been doing co-creation, okay? We just did it. Now, can you figure out what we did? You can't. I mean, it's like not linear. It's not in your mind. But we showed up, and we asked about the weather. We talked. We had fun with each other. And somehow at the end of it, our spirits are lifted. We connected. We're still connecting. Even when I'm talking, the co-creation doesn't go away because it's not me just talking. I'm feeling everybody, and it comes out through my consciousness and back to you. And if I keep paying attention to the energy keeps coming back to me, and we're going back and forth, and we stay in a high level of vibratory connection. And then... we have been learning, some of us how to not just co-create with ourselves on this line, but to co-create with these intelligent energies in other dimensions, and not just look at them in deference or prostration. They really like co-creation. And from my perspective, co-creation only comes spontaneously. It comes when you get out of the way, when you're in a state of neutral, when you're not in a state of any kind of manipulation or wanting something from somebody, other than to create joy or interaction or connection, but no manipulation, because that all stops co-creation. And once you have co-creation, it's easy to share things with each other. You know, people end up in people's living rooms. They don't have a place to live, and it's easy to do it. You don't get caught up in the lower levels of stuff. So I thought before we're gonna have a talk about it, and at the end, if Terry is up for it, we can have some comments from our sources through Terry on what co-creation is from their point of view, and anything they want to add. They're listening to us now, as you well know. And Terry is their their repeater station. Is that Michael? Michael, we hear you in the background.
Oh, I just moved.
All the lines are open now. So try to keep it quiet, or else we'll have to shut it down. But first off, do you guys know what co-creation is? Is anyone confused what co-creation is? Does everyone know what co-creation is?
They have some idea. Common space together, cooperatively, right? Is that right?
The mind is a big part of it, right?
I'm not sure it's mind hive. Creating a common space is closer, okay? Anyone else have an idea what co-creation is?
It's using your intent focused with somebody else's intent, intending to do something good.
Hopefully something good, okay?
Yeah.
Not always, but hopefully. But that's a good look at it. Anyone else have an idea of what co-creation is?
It is, I think you can say it's an energetic vibration that comes from you and creates your reality.
Oh, good.
Well,
a conscious application of that word indeed.
That's creation, okay? What you put out creates your reality.
So combined energetic vibrations?
Co implies there's something else participating with you. Co. In the creation. Joel, what were you saying?
I just said, I guess it would be more apropos to creation, as you said, is the conscious application of thought, word, and deed.
Right. Okay.
Anyone else? You use the word common. I thought common is better to create.
I would say. Hey, when?
Yeah.
When?
Yes.
Wasn't there a David Wilcox reading where the Elohim said, we don't want to be worshipped, we want to be co-creators with you, we want to be creators with you?
Right.
You know what, I don't recall it, but I wouldn't be surprised, because it sounds like something they would say, okay? Thank you. Anyone else want to say what they think co-creation is? Now, I want you to know we're co-creating just by doing this, okay?
Participating in producing what it is we want out of life.
Okay. And who else has one?
I do.
Who's that?
Anyway, this is David Mesa.
Yes, Dave. Go ahead.
It's a group intention, a group creation. decision.
Okay.
You're doing it all together.
That is, that could be co-creation. Yes, it is. Okay.
Yep.
Is good sex co-creation? Count on me to throw a monkey wrench in, right?
Of course.
Yeah. What else is co-creation?
Potluck dinner.
If you create a baby, good sex would be co-creation.
If you create a baby, hopefully it's co-creation. It could be a one-night stand and the guy is gone, but he still participated, right?
That's right.
The synergistic energy thing.
Yeah.
More than one person with the same intent.
Well, not necessarily a person. You can also think of the source energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you all for volunteering. And you're actually all right, okay? And if I was going to try to find like an overarching commonality amongst this idea of co-creation, it has to do with energies combining in other dimensions and then with two or more people and downloading into some kind of physical interaction. Energies combining in other dimensions. In other words, we're all holographic. We all expand out. And that we can tie our energies together with someone else.
Okay, great.
I say we can, but it's not so easy because it has to happen spontaneously. So the question is, what can you do with your conscious mind to cause something to happen spontaneously? And when we can figure that out, then we'll know how to do that. Why do we want to co-create? Why do we want to do that? Well, first of all, it's a way of having a lot more fun. When you're just by yourself and you keep recycling your own energy, it's not fun. It gets lonely. Even the higher forces, the one infinite creator, as the story goes, created more duplications of itself because it was lonely. It didn't want to be the only thing. So other beings allow us to bounce off of each other and know we exist, okay? And how we create that bouncing is everyone's unique challenge. And to create it with free will and create it so it has positive outcome and is a challenge of co-creation. Because when there's co-creation, there's a new energy that comes in that's different from each individual energy. Do you know, if there's something about this that is a duplication of the way the Elohim created the universe on some level. When I said that, there's a new energy that comes in that's different from each person's energy. And if you recalled on some of the earlier sessions where we were talking about how the Elohim created the universe, they talked about how there were two or more of them that were shooting energies. And I don't understand this, and you're not going to understand this, but I remember kind of what they said. They were shooting energies, and where the energies crossed, it created nodes, and the nodes created something new. So when you're co-creating, you're creating something bigger than each person individually, even with just two people, where let's just say everything is a frequency. Every time you think something, every time you intend something, you are generating a frequency. and if another person is generating a frequency, and then the two of you merge frequencies, where the frequencies join is something new that sticks. Somebody wants to audition for Barry Morrow. I can hear it now.
So if it's frequencies, then there also would be either fidelity or a lack of fidelity, in that the frequencies either in harmony and fidelity with each other or not.
Well, yes. Now, I'm using the word frequency, and I'm not sure that's the best word to use, but the idea is that, I mean, the Elohim and the Ra group say their frequencies, and they send we pick up on their frequencies. Now, if it's a frequency, having come from a science background, I would say, well, what's the frequency? How many cycles per second? I don't know. I don't know if we could say that. How many cycles per second? Heiser, are you writing the controls so we can?
Yes, I'm muting lines.
Open. Yeah. So if somebody's talking and then you want to say something, you're going to be muted. But otherwise, you're all open. Okay. So it's like if we are creating an intention and a group energy and a co-creation, like, it doesn't have to be extremely big deal. I think two people could take a walk and they could co-create just because they're walking and in each other's fields and each other's rhythms. And then it could be a big deal. The big deal is where you want something to happen at a big level, and we need to call in the higher sources to co-create with us, and learning what happens geometrically. What's the geometries of that? They talk about geometries, and they talk about, I mean, they look down from all our conversations with these sources. They look down through the universe as a bunch of geometries. And in fact, some people talk about sacred geometry. And that's a whole science which is based on the ways that different dimensions interrelate with each other. Now, I'm not well versed on sacred geometry, but I do get the general idea that there's geometrical proportions and symmetries about the way that things create. And that each of us, as we walk around and we think and we do things, we are constantly in the process of, this is my take on it. They're going to have to explain this because I've never heard them say this exactly like this, so this is my reverse engineering. We are constantly creating geometries and frequencies in other dimensions, either close in or high up. And we're doing it all the time, every time we think, every time we don't think. We are all holographically connected to a larger holograms. Some of us really large holograms, some of us are compressed holograms, but it's all geometries moving around. And when I would suggest that when two people are getting co-creative, their geometries are interfacing. They're creating nodes, and they're creating spaces for new things to happen. And if they're putting intentions on it, the new things happen that look like miracles, but they're generated from geometries in other dimensions. Jerry, does that sound right to you?
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Hello? Yeah.
I hear you.
So you have, like, in the creation of a body, you have in a mind complex and an astral body and a connection to the higher realms. You have all connecting geometries, and so that's a synergy that's taking place, and everything needs to work in harmony, and everything is there for a co-creation.
Right. Right. So, like, we're walking geometry creators. And, of course, I don't see the geometries. Somebody like Daphne. Daphne likes the geometries. Hello? Hi, could you mute that guy, please? Hello.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you. Goodbye.
But you know what? I just thought that came to mind that co-creation is a harmonization of an energetic vibration from two or more sources. When you were talking about the frequencies, they...
I think that sounds pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like if we right now we think about let's send geometries out. And I said, I don't know if this works. So I'm pretty sure I'm in the right ballpark when I talk about geometries, at least from the Elohim standpoint, okay? The Ra group doesn't, as far as I know, emphasize this as much, but the Elohim group, when they get down to it, are always talking about interlocking geometries and how the geometries get stuck and how they spray WD-40 on it and how they help loosen it up. And so each of us is, in fact, the center of the universe, of our universe, and is generating geometries around us by our thoughts. And when we're with somebody, we're generating geometries being with people. You notice how I talk about this, how the energy is shifting as I start to talk about geometries? So it's like by talking about it, it's like I am kind of invoking it. Now, from my human side, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I learned way back that if I started talking about the Elohim, I could feel the energy shift just by talking about them. As soon as I would talk about them, and I'm not doing it. It just changes. And suddenly there's this very refined energy that comes in and that other people seem to feel. So there is a connection between the words we say and invoking the frequencies and the energies. And in co-creations, now there's a lot of levels of co-creation. Like two people could sit at a table and discuss philosophy, and there's an element of co-creation there. What does that mean? Is a co-mingling of their energies. They may not even agree. They may be arguing all the time. Terry's friend John, and some of you remember who passed away, John would co-create by arguing. It's like that was his way of interfacing with people. And he was good at it. Would you say that, Terry? Terry, are you there?
He was very good at it. He was, I don't know what the Socratic method was, but I think he was using the Socratic method.
Well, Terry thinks he was Socrates. And she thinks she was Socrates' wife. And, you know, the story of Socrates, if you're not familiar with it, aside from he never wrote anything, he lived with this woman, his wife, but he never brought home any money. He would just go out and hang out in the town square, sit at the table and talk to young people, and bring in all this wisdom, but he would always provoke them. That was his way, provoke them and ask them questions. He never just sat there and said, I'm here to teach you, here are my teachings. No, he was provocative. And if it wasn't for Plato was one of the students who sat around Socrates and would write down what he said, and then he turned it into books later after Socrates was dead. But the thing that I was most fond about in the stories of Socrates is how he would come home to his wife, and his wife would be mad at him because he would always sleep in the same clothes, which is what John did. He would stay out all night. John didn't stay out all night, but he used to go to, you know, if you go to the health food stores, it was an adventure with him. But my favorite moment in Socrates' life was this famous picture of his wife pouring water on his head because he was out all night. And I said, Terry seems too nice to have done that, but he probably drove her to the wall because he didn't assume any responsibility for his wife. But he would sit there and he would co-create all day, but his style of co-creation was getting people into arguments. I'll give you another little bit of gossip. One day Terry and I were driving through Palm Springs, and we have a friend in Palm Springs. His name is Jean-Claude Coven. And I met Jean-Claude through Carla Rucker years ago because he had written a book called Going Deeper, and he was trying to convert the Ra teachings into something simple that people could understand. And his book never really caught fire, but he was a brilliant guy and always respected the work we were doing. And one day, we were talking to Jean-Claude, and we happened to mention Jean Sanborn, okay? And for some reason, Jean-Claude said, I want to meet that guy. And he was really attracted to come to Sedona and meet John. He never did. John died before he came. But the way that he said it, I said, geez, I wonder. And I went up and looked up Plato, the statues of Plato, and lo and behold, Jean-Claude looked like Plato, okay? And when you think about it, he was doing something similar with the Ra teachings of Carla Rucker. He wrote a book trying to make them simple for people. It was the same role. He was around Socrates trying to make it available to people. I've noticed this a lot. When people had a past life of a certain dispensation, they seem to be doing something similar this life. And it's interesting to observe. And I don't know if Jean-Claude was Plato, and I've never asked it in a channeling, and nor would they tell me, because it would be like a violation of, it would be an infringement of his privacy, unless he asked it. Now, they might not even tell him, because oftentimes people screw up co-creation, or not co-creation, they screw up knowledge of past lifetimes because they get egotistical about it and they start dwelling on it. And that's not a good use of that knowledge. And so they don't, especially if you're, they used to tell me, when I was first with Daphne, was I ever anybody famous?
Yeah.
I said, can you tell me about my past lives? And they said, well, you've been an orphan many times. You died young. And I knew Daphne because I was a merchant and she was my helper and in hundreds of years ago. And of course, at that time, that's what we were doing. I was a merchant and she was trying to help me. So, in any case, co-creation. I think the first thing about co-creation is to visualize it. Another thing is to be able to contemplate. This is not so different from visualization. Everyone you know, or most everyone you know, you have a certain rigidity in the way you relate to each other. You relate to each other based on some commonality. Heis, what's all that noise in the background, Heis? Thank you. And you get habitual ways of relating that just stick. You keep doing it over and over again. And if you try to break that, usually they get mad at you or vice versa because it's down to a routine. Now, in some of the people in your life, you have a habitual relationship with them, but you also have learned to feel them at a deeper level, although they're not sharing it. I think one way of co-creating or setting a stage for co-creation is to do a meditation where you feel somebody at that level where you're already combined and feel the space. You have to feel it. It's not an intellectual level. Like, for example, on these calls, I think one of the things you've noted is that we can feel each other. All I have to do is think, I want to feel and love every person on this line. I just think that. And I'd like our sources to use this voice and this presence right now to touch into the heart of each of you. Now, you know, sometimes in the morning I wake up and I say, okay, I'm going to just send love to all of those people that are paying attention to our work. And I do a meditation. And I know Terry does it. We don't do it together usually, but we both do it. And see, I've tuned into that space. So as we're talking, I can just move into it, and it's there. And there's probably people that you know that with just a little bit of visualization, you could do that. Now, co-creation doesn't necessarily have to be overtly loving. It can be extremely cooperative. It can be creative. It can be where two people are writing something together or creating a sculpture together. Or taking a walk together, and one says, let's go this way. No, let's go that way. And okay, we'll go this way. And it's like it can be very, very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And but when you have co-creation going, you suddenly start healing that feeling of loneliness that we have, that feeling of separation, because when you can relate to one person as part of all that is, when you truly develop that connection, you're only a breath away from relating to all people as part of all that is. It's like when people are in love, when they're truly in love, and they're together, other people start tuning into love. Because those people are generating that around them. Now, one of the things that we have been doing, I don't know if Wendy is on the line. Wendy, are you on the line? Wendy Merrill? Hello, Wendy? Star 6, if you're there. Maybe that'll work. Are you there, Wendy? Did I hear? I heard somebody.
Yes, now she's here.
Wendy? Wendy, can I hear you? Hello, Wendy.
Hold on, let me unmute all the lines. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Wendy.
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
I hear you. Don't do anything. We got you. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Great. Hi. You can mute everybody and leave her on mute, okay?
Say something again, Wendy.
I'm here.
Wendy?
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things about co-creation... Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
One of the things about co-creation is that in your life, you have all these people that you've established relationships with that usually are not co-creative at a high level. They may be co-creative at a lower level, but one of the things is to have other people that you can create co-creative connections with at a high level. And where can you find those people? Well, one place is right here, because we have a lot of people on these calls that listen to these calls that are in just that kind of a dilemma. They feel the energies on the line. They feel if you feel the energies on the line, you're being co-creative. Even if you're not doing anything, you have to be co-creating to receive those energies. But you go back into your life, and you can't feel those energies with anyone in your life. And if you try to do something to create them, you oftentimes can't do it. In fact, they get mad at you. It's like you're doing something that's out of the game. They want you to be in the familiar pattern. So we started something a couple of years ago that's been kind of going on in the background. I don't always talk about it because I don't feel we have enough administration to do the best job on it. But it's called Team Shift, where we put together, and Edna, I don't know if Edna's on the line today, Edna has been helping administrate it, putting together small groups of five people. The goal is to learn how to co-create on the phone with each other. And they call in the light, and then they put their intentions in the light, and they talk, and they get to know each other. And Wendy happens to have a Team Shift group, and she sent me an email about all the great things that happened to her in her life as a result of her participation in her group. And I thought I would let her share it, because it's very inspiring.
Thank you.
Wendy, that was your cue. Okay.
About three years ago, I started, the group has changed a little bit, but it's a core group of four women. I live in Nevada. Another lady lives in Canada, and one in Northern California, one in Southern California. And the four of us have been praying together 5 days a week at 8:15 in the morning for the last 3 years. And I'll tell you one story that I told when, I mean, it is absolutely amazing what we have done for each other and what we have done for the universe, because our prayers are heard. I can tell you with 100% confidence our prayers are heard. And here's a story that sums up how powerful we are. We're on the phone a couple months ago, maybe October of 2012, and it was my turn. We each talked in sequence, and I started to pray for the homeless teenagers in Las Vegas. And I said, winter's coming on. I feel it's going to be a really cold winter. I'm very worried about the homeless teenagers here. I'd like to put that into the light. Well, as I'm saying this, my telephone is ringing through. I have another call coming in. Of course, I did not take the call. I'm on my prayer call. I never take a call. I'm on my prayer call. So I hang up the call, and I retrieve the voicemail. And the voicemail is from an insurance agent that I met at a business function. And he's leaving me this message. Wendy, this is Marlon. I am on a drive to help the homeless teenagers in Las Vegas. I know they are going to be cold this winter, and I wonder if you have any blankets and coats you can give me. I wonder if you know anybody who can help me round up some blankets and coats. I'll come by your office and pick them up. Just give me a call. It was instantaneous.
Didn't you sell some houses at one point after putting it in the light as a real estate agent?
Yeah, my career exploded. My career exploded. When we started to, because as the women that I work with, as we got to know each other, and I was really in financial hardship, just devastation, bankrupt, lost my home, struggling in business, the whole mess, everything that so many of us have been through. And so we started putting my career into the light. It wasn't just me. The other lady on the call honestly, truly also wanted me to succeed. And as a result of all of us really requesting that my career improve, my career exploded. And now I'm a successful real estate broker. I own my own company in Las Vegas. And, yeah, that was definitely as a result of it.
Wendy, thank you so much for sharing that. It's really inspiring. And I want you to know, some of you feel really stuck. Team shift. Like idiots that we are, we don't charge anything for it. Someday we'll ask for donations. If some of you get wealthy or get good, please donate back because it's going to help us reach other people. But go to the website, Intelligent Infinity, and there's a little thing that says team shift, and fill out the form. And sooner or later, Edna's going to get to you, and she'll schedule you and put you in a group and use it as your own experiment in co-creation with the universe. Because I've got many, many emails from people. There was one lady, another lady, who seems to work for selling houses. She was selling her house, and she had it on the market for 3 years, and she started putting it in the light. And the next week, she got three offers, and she sold it for more than her asking price, which is really unusual in today's market. So thank you, Wendy. And I thought
let me just say one more thing. You know, our group, it varied quite a lot in the beginning. We had people come and we had people go. We had people who thought it sounded really good, but then they found that they didn't have the self-discipline to make the commitment. Excuse me. What we ended up with is four women who have the willingness to carve 15 or 20 minutes out every day whenever it's physically possible. And that is what makes it successful. It's not much to think that you're going to make a call at the same time every day. But it turned out to be too hard for a lot of people. Now, if I said to you, could you do one thing every day at, 6 p.m., and it would make a difference in your life, most people would say yes. It kind of comes right down to it. Maybe it's actually too hard. So part of it is to just realize that, you have to meet the universe halfway. You have to be willing to take the time and put the focus into doing these calls and making the request and talking to the light at the same time every day with people who are as committed as you are. That's when magic starts to happen.
Thank you. And you know what? When we say this, I know how a lot of people think, and they just think, if I ask the Elohim, it'll happen. And it's not my experience that it works that way. It's co-creative, and you're carving your own space and developing your own energies with other people and learning how to do that. And when you do it, it's something you can really count on. Anything else you want to say before we close you off?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing your experience, Wendy. And
can't hear you, Ian.
Hello, Terry. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So we have about 6 minutes. Maybe we'll cap this off with a little message about co-creation and what we've talked about, and anything
yes.
our sources can add to that. Okay? So, Father, Mother, God, by the way, our whole invocation to the light is an invocation to co-creation. It's not just a prayer. It's not just words. It has to be said with intent, and you can learn to say it with intent. Father, Mother, God, we ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now, and we await the communication from our sources through Terry Brown, and we have about 5 to 6 minutes, so see if you can time that. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 1st of April, 2013, and we bring love with us in our essence and surround each and every person that wishes to be touched by love light. We, in this act, are co-creating with you, for we can bring our love light to you. However, without the receptivity of receiving the love light, there is not the co-creation. And the whole original co-creation or creation of bringing the love light to you, if it is not received, it does not have an effect. We see that all life is dependent upon co-creation. For if you have one awareness, but there is nothing to be aware of, then you have nothing. So the illusion begins with the presence of more than one awareness. The bird flying through the air is co-creating with the air. The person walking down the street is co-creating with the sidewalk, co-creating with the air, is co-creating with all cells in the body. It is, life is a co-creation. And as Heiss has so aptly put it, it is harmonious relationship and working together. And through it, you can have goals. You can bring purpose. You can set about to have fulfillment. And it is dependent upon the surroundings, the other life forms, the consciousness of all working together. This is a very basic principle. And when one feels that they are alone, it is that they are so focused upon their own individual outcomes and what is going on with them that they leave out in their focus all of the things that go to help in the co-creation of their life. The truck, the person that drives the truck that brings the food to the market that they then buy. The person at the market that rings up the sale. The telephone operator that helps when their phone goes dead or needs to be helped. The workman, the lineman that comes out and reestablishes connections. It is a co-creative universe. Energies working together, geometries connecting together in such a way to produce a life form. You have struck the very important basic of life. We love each and every one of you. And it is, we are honored, we are so honored to have this moment together with you. It is a sacred moment. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Terry, and thank all of you who shared and participated. And again, Team Shift is one of the links on intelligent-infinity. And if you feel this might help you, please sign up. Give it a try and see what happens. And just reminding you that this Saturday, we are going to have session 4 of the Law of One Made Simple series that Carla and I have been doing. And it's a very small donation. You get access to all the first 3 sessions. And I hope some of you will show. We haven't officially announced it with a button or anything, but hopefully I'll get that done tomorrow. And on that note, we'll say good night for today and see you next time. And everyone is unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Wynn.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you, Wynn. Good night.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Terry.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Hey,
Wynn, everybody.
Wynn? Wynn?
Yes. Who is that?
Michael from Waterville. We use mantra. We use mantra and the yantra. The sound or the geometry of sound to create space.
You know what? There was a time in my life when I actually used to chant with people, and I know how that works. That people just, like that's how the Hare Krishnas work. They just
chant right.
Hare Krishna, and they create a co-creative space just in chanting. Okay.
And so, yeah, and that's what is it? Daphne. She goes
Daphne.
Rah, and they create
right.
space.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
It was a great topic. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Night.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Hey, Wynn.
Yes.
I was thinking.
Your conference
that,
recording has stopped.
Say that
I
again.
Was thinking,
I just stopped.
Okay. It's Carola.
Go ahead.
I was,
yes,
I was
Carolyn,
thinking when
Carolyn
you were
talking. In Alaska. Is that Carolyn in Alaska?
In Okotoks. No, Okotoks.
Where is Okotoks?
It's a little bit south of Calgary.
Okay.
But I'm actually
right.
in
I'm
Manitoba
all ears. Go ahead.
Today. Okay. What I was thinking was, you know how basically people are electromagnetic carbon units? Mm-hmm. You know, like your thoughts are electromagnetic, and your nerves talk to each nerve with electromagnetic pulse, and your heart goes with electromagnetic. I've been thinking about the sacred geometry stuff, and I think it's almost what I get a picture of in my mind is, it's like a spinning, you know, the spinning gets electromagnetic frequency, and we think our thoughts are electromagnetic. So that may be how some of the geometry of co-creation happens, because of the energy as well.
Did you read the Creator God book?
Yeah.
Because that's where they talked about how they were creating spinning, and that was, part of the creation of things. So,
yeah.
Well, we're creators, so we didn't get into it in the conversation with them, but I suspect there's something similar that goes on, that as we start to access the higher parts of ourselves, our intentions create spinningness, which starts creating at a higher level. So I think that's what's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
well,
like when we have our Sunday call,
mm-hmm.
and we're all thinking about, going up and out into the universe and then coming back down and anchoring that energy. So it's a two-way communication between
mm-hmm.
out there and into the earth.
Right.
That's an electromagnetic thought form, in a way. Like, I mean, it's a lot of other stuff, too, but it's like the thought form of everybody thinking that way.
I don't know if it's electromagnetic. I'd have to ask them. It might be part of it. When I think of electromagnetic, I think of magnets and electricity. And I'm not sure if it doesn't go beyond that, okay? But that may be the final explanation. I never asked them, so I wouldn't. I would only be speculation on my part to say that it was.
Well,
but,
you know how your chi energy goes along your meridians and so forth?
Right.
Like, I don't know if you've ever had touch for health treatment. That's worked with electromagnetics, too.
Right. Well, you know what? I know there's things, circuits in your body, but I feel this energy around me. See, if it was electromagnetic energy, you should be able to get a meter and bring it near somebody and be able to measure it. I've never heard of anyone doing that, So, because electromagnetic energy is a physically empirical, measurable energy. But if you have the proper device, you can read it. And I'm not sure that the energy we're talking about fits into that category. But
what
maybe it does.
Right?
What's that?
It's more of a vibration.
Well, you know what? It's like people make up names for it. They call it orgone energy. They call it Shakti. They call it Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to those names and you try to say, well, what does that mean? You have to always define it by what it does, not what it is, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can sense it. I can feel vibrations in a room, but what is it? It's basically the mystery. It seems to go into the mystery of creation, where it goes beyond what science, at least science today, can deal with. Although, when people in higher dimensions, even negative beings, supposedly can maneuver through space just by thought. Okay? They can move things through thought. And even us, on our Sunday grid healings, we move our thoughts into a certain area, and I have the idea that something happens in that area when we do that. So this is where, from my point of view, it's kind of an experimental thing. I don't quite really understand how it works in a way that I can logically explain it. Except that I see that it works all the time. So,
well, that's why you got to be nonlinear, Wynn.
Well, that's why I am nonlinear. And I mean, I can't always make it work on demand. I can't make everything happen that I want happen. I'm ready to go on Wendy's call and start making things happen that I want to happen. She'll probably hear me and say, yeah, Wendy, get on the call, okay?
Have you ever tried?
To go on her call?
No, to be nonlinear and create it.
Well, you know what? I do create a lot. I think that one of the things that I work with is that I can overcreate, and then I get dispersed. Okay, I start losing focus. Also, another thing is I'm working with such big things that it's not easy to bring them in on the physical. It seems like it's not easy. It should be easy, but it seems like it's not easy because there's a huge amount of resistance from negative things down here to this kind of energy moving in. And, you know, we've done miracles on what we've done, but it's like I'm always learning, but thanks for sharing. Anyone else want to say anything before we hang up?
I'd like to point out that as long as you're spinning, you have to understand that nonlinear communications get through the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't care about a spin. They've been dealing with that for eons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can. You can use a parallel if you wish, but if we can take a little robot and throw it somewhere up on Mars and send a little signal, do you think magnetics is an issue?
I'm not going to answer that.
Well, no, just think about it. I didn't say answer it. Anyhow, it was great tonight, and Sunny was super. I'm Star 6. You know, I sent you the very first email, Star 6 Dwayne.
Yes,
Star
Dwayne, 6
means Star
Dwayne,
6 means listen.
Dwayne, you're sending us all those great pictures, right?
Yeah, that's just the beginning.
Well, thank you. We look forward to more because everybody loved them, okay?
I hope so. Have a good evening. It was a great evening, and yesterday was just knocked out. And if you stop with the thought, the visualization of CNN, one of us is a fool. Have a good evening. I'm hanging up.
Okay, thank you. All right. Goodbye. And we'll see you all next time.
Goodbye to BBS.
Hmm. Hey, Lynn.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Hey, Wynn, can you hear me? Yeah. Wynn, be careful in the parking lot, because when you're in the parking lot, the last time I parked in that parking lot, they towed my car in my, when I came back to my car, it was gone, and they,
which parking lot is this? Next to your mail?
In back of the Starbucks. In back of the Starbucks, the one that says you, if you leave your car there, you'll be told.
Right.
You better look around, Lynn. You may not be where you think you are.
I'm sitting in the car, Terry, so they're going to have a hard time.
Yeah. They said if I'd been...
Are you talking about the Starbucks on Hill Street?
It's a Starbucks on Colorado Boulevard.
No, this is the Starbucks on Hill Street. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's where he's going next.
It's still 30 minutes.
They towed it from one to the other.
Yeah, said that too.
I'm going to have to tell that story again about if you park here, you will be towed. Remember that story?
Yeah, I remember. That was funny.
out of the vehicle, he was in a junkyard.
This is one of the funniest days of synchronicities that I ever had in my life, okay? And it happened before any of this work with the Elohim or David Wilcock. It was just that they were playing with me, and they did a whole impossible set of events. But remind me, and I'll say it sometime. I told the story before, but it was a long time ago. So okay. I'm hanging up. And,
okay.
Good time in California, Wynn. See you all. Love you all.
Okay, bye.
Love you all. Bye.
Love you all. You all have a great evening.
I love you all from Canada. Have a great evening.